I'm going to talk about little yellow boxes, which has got Joe slightly intrigued about little yellow boxes. Hopefully you'll understand where I'm going with this. A couple months back, Google released a video that illustrated how the artificial intelligence, the AI, behind their self-driving cars perceived the world. And this is a screen cap, a frame grab, from the video that I took. And I don't know how, let me just see here. Now with the light in here, it doesn't come up as good as it could, but oh, wow, that was amazing. Let there not be light, and it happened. The right-hand side of this video is what we all know. It is the real world. It is the visually cluttered, visually noisy world that we all deal with. And I just want to like go through this with you a little bit, because your brains are amazing. God made them to be amazing. And they are amazing. They handle so much. If I'm in the car and I'm driving down the road and I see people crossing at, you know, right angles to me, what do I know? They're crossing the street. And I look at their age and what they're wearing, and instinctively I know they're children crossing the street going either to or from school. If there was a wider view here, I could tell whether they were going to the school or from the school. And by that, I would know what time of day it was. Because if they're going to the school, it's obviously morning, and you get the idea, right? We all know this. And I'm trying to tell you this to remind you how much you know without really knowing that you know it. And you know that this day would either be a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. It wouldn't be a weekend, right? Because they're going to school. We generally don't go to school on the weekend. And if you see these little young humans going, you're still looking for an adult human somewhere, and there she is in the yellow vest with the stop sign. She's the crossing guard. And you see, you know, the parked cars, and you see the trees, you see the lights, you see all the stop signs. I see all of this stuff. I don't drive very much, but I see all of this stuff when I do drive. And not only am I watching this stuff, but I'm also generally, if I'm driving, Karen's in the car with me, the adult supervision. And so as I am driving, like, I'm listening to her, and I truly am listening, contrary to what she may say to you. I am listening to what she's saying. I'm processing her words and thinking about what she's talking about, and I'm processing all this. And my brain is doing a lot without me really having to say, oh, I have to pay attention now. I'm coming to a cross. I don't have to do all that. It just happens. My brain has, my fuzzy logic brain can handle all of this visual stimuli, right, and all of the really stimulating conversation that Karen is giving to me. And sometimes I even have the radio on. If it's Friday night and it's date night, I'm listening to the Funky Friday on WXPN. So I got three things going, you know, and I'm able to process all of that, right? As a human, I can do that. But the left-hand side is what the AI has to do. At least this is the AI that Google is admitting to. The AI has to strip this all down because it can't handle, at this point, can't handle all of that input, right? So the AI has to put a lot of effort on signs and lights and all that stuff. So it has to know where the stop signs are and interpret it properly. Has to do the same thing for one way and for stop lights, you know, red, yellow, green, all of that. So a lot of effort's put in the AI for them to figure out the signs, because if you don't get the signs right, it just goes bad from there, right? So the AI spends a lot of effort on sign. And you can't see it because it's kind of dim in here still, but there's lots of little red dots up there. It knows where all the stop signs are. It makes sure it knows that. But it cheats, has to cheat in some of the other areas of what's up here. Anything that's large and dense and isn't moving and fits the profile of an automobile gets like a box, gets a purple box in this case, right? So all the purple boxes up there, they're cars that are parked, right? If Saj was to do an AI, his criteria would be, is this car hotter than my car? And then it would have different colored boxes based on how hot the car is. But thank God that Saj doesn't do AI, because it would be so visually confusing that these cars would be running off the road because they'd be looking at the cars. But they have to strip it down and say, no, is this thing a car? Well, we'll put a purple box around it. And this other green box up there is a car that's waiting to make, you know, to keep going, right? And at first I thought, okay, if it's parked, it's purple, and if it's going, it's green, and it made a lot of sense, but then I realized, no, because these cars following my car are also purple. So I think the color has to do with like the relative direction. Is it coming with me or is it going against me? I think. But how do I know? Because Google doesn't tell me how their AI works. I'm only guessing based on this video. But you can see how stripped down this is compared to this. And then finally we have the squishy bits, right? They're not dense like cars, and they're squishy, and they're capable of unpredictable behavior. And so they get a yellow box, and those are the humans. And that's my title, Little Yellow Boxes. This is a flock. This is a total flock of little yellow boxes fluttering along. And the AI says, okay, these are squishy bits. They're not so dense, and they're capable of unpredictable behavior, these little yellow boxes. So a flock of little yellow boxes is going past the AI. And I've been thinking about this a lot because, you know, we're supposed to have a grandchild coming in the next couple of weeks. And I've been thinking about how the AI, you know, doesn't know anything about these humans. Knows nothing. Just knows that they fit the profile of human, so gives them a little yellow box. And that's all it knows. Unless there's some AI in some secret lab, and I don't want to go there. I don't want to get real conspiracy theory. So let me just say the AI doesn't really know anything about these humans other than they fit the profile of human. I give them a little yellow box. It's a placeholder. All it is a placeholder. And I've been thinking about this because we're supposed to have a child, a grandchild in a couple of weeks or so I'm told. And I realize I don't know anything about this child. I know very little about this child. I know that it's supposed to be, or I am told it's supposed to be, a female. Because Rosalie took a test, and they said, congratulations, you're going to have a girl. So if the test is correct, and I assume it's got a very high percentage of correctness, I assume that this is going to be a girl. So I know that it's probably going to be a girl. I know what the name is probably going to be, Iris Ella. That's what the name was announced at the shower. You know, Ella being a nod to my mom. We do a lot of things with the middle names in our family. Karen is Karen Rosalie, and that's how we got Rosalie's name. My dad's name was Dominic Daniel. That's how I got Daniel. And my mother's name was Margaret Ella. So now Rosalie's making a nod to her grandmother by naming her baby Iris Ella. We're not a big family. I mean, Karen's sister didn't have any kids. My sister didn't have any kids. This is our first grandchild. Knowing these two, Rosalie and Sharif, this may be the only grandchild we have with them because it's like a major upheaval for them. But right now I know, what little I know is probably going to be a female, probably going to be named Iris Ella, and the due date is the 19th, so I am told. But as for those of you that have had children, first-time baby, could come early, could come late, God knows, right? I don't know. But that is the sum total, really, of what I know about this child, which is very little. You know, and I have questions. I have lots of questions. You know, what color eyes she gonna have, right? I think it's gonna be, I'm betting on brown, but we have this odd strain of blue that pops up in our family. She gonna have brown eyes? Karen's dad has one eye of different color. They got two different color eyes. What's this color eyes this kid gonna have? She's gonna have curly hair like her mom and her grandma. No idea, don't know, have no idea at this point. Is she going to be like her mom? And, you know, Rosalie was classic for this. She would come tottering at me with this stack of books, dropping half of them, staggering over to me when she was a little girl. And the joke that we have is, you know, Daddy, read the book, Daddy. And we still say that to her because she loved to read. We read, you know, the Max and Diana series, the twins named Max and Diana. We read Blueberries for Sal. We read Mike Mulligan and his steam shovel, read all those books. We kept all of those books. They're all upstairs. We have all of them. We've actually bought more books. We bought the 4-volume Space Cat series from the 60s. I was like, we got to get this. So we just bought this like a month ago from this bookseller. And Karen just picked up a book. We got a recommendation from somebody we met at a retirement party. And I forget what the title of it is. What's the title of that book? We both forget the title, but we got the book because it's like, yes, this is great. We're picking up books. We're hoping that Iris is like Rosalie. Read me the book, Daddy. Puddin'. Okay, cool. I have a ton of questions about this kid. I mean, I will tell you the biggest question I have about this kid, the most important one, is she going to want to skate with her grandpa. God, if we could have another hockey player in the family, it would be so cool. I mean, I'm thinking I got to go out and buy those little orange squishy pucks because she's not ready for the hard ones, but I'm thinking it would be so cool to skate with my granddaughter. So cool. That's my biggest question. Like, can I skate with this kid? When can I skate with this kid? I'm sure I'll be driving them crazy. Like, she's one. She can skate now, right? Let's get going. But that's the kind of stuff where we have no idea. This kid might be like, hockey? Forget hockey, right? Who knows? But I have these questions, and I know nothing. So I will say this to you, just like the AI looks at these kids and gives them a little yellow box and says, placeholder. Iris Ella is a placeholder for me right now. She's a little yellow box. She's an unknown quantity, if you will. And what's interesting about this, as I've been thinking about this, is who knows really Iris, Ella? Who knows anything about these kids? It's God, right? Nobody else. And I want to give you a hypothetical. I want you to look on the right-hand side again. I want to give you a hypothetical. You know, the AI gives them a little yellow box, a placeholder. But, you know, let me run through this with you, and let me talk to you about this is what God knows. Remember I said to you earlier, we process so much information without even thinking about it? We also don't realize what little we know and how much God knows. So I'm going at both ends of the spectrum here. You know, and these are all hypotheticals, but if you think through it, you realize, wow, there is so much that God knows that we don't know. And, you know, Thomas talked about this last week, that when he was talking about himself, he's saying, you know, who knows about me? I know about me, and God knows about me, nobody else. Well, I'm even going to go further and say, really, ultimately, the only one that knows is God, because we're not even honest with ourselves about things. But let me just run through these hypotheticals. See this guy here with the, I don't know if I can reach right here, this guy here, right? Let's just say he's now afraid of the dark. Suddenly, afraid of the dark. He goes to bed at night, locks his door to his bedroom, rummages around in his drawer where he has it hidden, pulls out this nightlight, and plugs it in. Takes it out when he wakes up in the morning because he's ashamed and afraid to admit that he's afraid of the dark now. In fact, he stole that nightlight from the convenience store because he didn't have the money to buy it, and he was afraid to talk to his family about it because he's embarrassed about it. The reason why he did this, he's got this nightlight, is his grandmother just died, and he was close with her, and he knew she was older, and he knew that, you know, she had lived a long life, but when she died, he realized we don't live forever. We are human. We don't last forever, and it really made him afraid. So the AI sees like a little yellow box, but God sees him and knows all of this. This kid has told no one any of this, and God knows even more. Because God knows that the moment he took that little light and slipped it into his backpack in the convenience store, the guy who was watching the monitor, the video in the store, looked away because his phone buzzed. So he missed it. Because what if he hadn't missed it? You know, given the America of 21st century, he probably would be, you know, accused of terroristic shoplifting and hauled off to prison. I mean, it would be a situation where now his arc of his life would be so different if he got arrested for shoplifting. He doesn't even know this. He just knows that he's afraid of the dark. But God sees and knows all of this. And not to belabor this a little bit more, but let me just give you a couple more. This girl in the front. Last night, she realized that really she wants to be a veterinarian. Her parents want her to be like a concert pianist. She loves to play the piano. And they've invested so much money in her career, if you will. And they think she's going to go to someday be playing in Carnegie Hall or whatever. And they want her to be this, you know, this concert pianist. But she loves animals. She volunteers at the local pet store. And she loves every little furry thing and every little scaly thing and every little swimmy thing. She loves them all. And now she's taking AP calculus, AP biology, and she's really enjoying it. And she just dawned on her just last night, you know, I want to be a veterinarian. I love this. This is what I want to be. But she's got a very difficult conversation with her parents because they want her to be a pianist because they see all the talent that she has. And she says, I like the piano, but I love this whole science thing. So how's that going to play out? she doesn't know at this point. She's only just begun to know that she wants to be a veterinarian. But God already knows what's going to happen. He has seen it all, the whole arc of her life. And then one more. The adult holding the stop sign, just trying to get through the day, just struggling because her best friend just got a cancer diagnosis over the phone. It was the worst thing. The doctor could have brought them in, but no, he had someone call in the office, say, yeah, you have cancer, you need to come down and talk about your prognosis and your areas of treatment, how we're going to treat this. And so she's just holding it together today, trying to focus on what she's doing instead of focusing on what will the treatment be, what will our prognosis be, what's our quality of life going to be, what's going to happen to my husband, my best friend. How's this going to happen? How's this going to play out? Where God himself knows already all of this. So you see, not only is this what you would call a visually busy or visually noisy scene, there is so much more going on than we ever see. But God sees it all. So you see a very stark difference between the stripped-down AI that just sees placeholders, just so I can navigate around them and not kill them or hit them or whatever, and then you see the stuff that we see, and I couldn't even represent all that extra stuff. All of these lives, I can't count them all. There's a bunch of people here. There was way more in the video. I mean, it's amazing. All of these lives, with all of this stuff going on, I've just given you hypotheticals, but all of this stuff going on, and we don't even see that. We can process all the visual stuff, but there's even more beyond that. And only God sees that. Only he knows. Because we're not even honest with ourselves about what is going on. So now you know why I talked about little yellow boxes. Iris Ella is a little yellow box to me, a placeholder. Not that I'm in denial, it's just I don't know anything at this point. And I will still know very little once I see her for the first time all swaddled up in the blankets and whatever in the hospital or when she comes home or whatever. I'm still not going to know that much. I'll know a few somewhat shallow things, but not that much. Only God knows. He's already seen the arc of her life, already knows from beginning to end what it's going to be. So I've been thinking about this a lot. Little yellow boxes, placeholders. We do it to each other. You know, we don't really know each other very well. So we put little yellow boxes around each other. We're kind of like placeholders. So I want to turn to Scripture and talk about, again, to really illustrate again and delve into the difference between what we know and what God knows. Because maybe it will keep us from making people placeholders. And it will allow us to really be honest with ourselves and say, wow, we don't even know everything about ourselves. It's truly what God knows. So Luke chapter 7, please. Luke chapter 7. All right, we're going to start verse 36 and go to the end. I think that's 36 to 50. One of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him being Christ. So one of the Pharisees desired that Jesus would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and he sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, and he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, Say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged.
And he turned to this woman, and he said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed both my feet, hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto her, I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Now, I really don't want to focus on Simon in this chapter, although it would be really interesting to focus on him, but I do need to start with him. Because when, if you look at it, verse 39, you know, Simon is screaming in his own head about the Lord. He's not betraying, perhaps, you know, outwardly what he's thinking, but his inside, he's screaming. And he's already put the Lord in a little yellow box. He's saying, this man is a fraud. He comes across as a great prophet, but he doesn't know what everybody in this village knows, everybody in this town, everybody in this city, whatever you substitute, whatever you want. He doesn't know what everybody else around here knows. This woman is, and I'm going to use the hard biblical word for this woman is a whore. And he's clueless. It's amazing that Simon calls him in for entertainment. The Lord is here for entertainment. He's like the popular guy in the news, right? So Simon scores an invitation with the guy in the news. And he's brought his friends here, and it's kind of like an evening's entertainment. Because Simon really doesn't believe anything that the Lord is saying. He doesn't believe anything. But he brings him in, and then he sees this event that only reinforces what he already thinks about Jesus. He's already got him in a little yellow box. This man is a fraud. He's not a Pharisee. He's not one of us. He's this ersatz holy man. So he's in his head, he's screaming, this man is a fraud. He doesn't even know this woman's a whore. I wouldn't let this woman touch me. And he's letting her touch him. This man's a fraud. And so I want to repeat what he says. He says, if this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. So he thinks he has all the freedom and liberty that he can think whatever he wants in his head, and he is like secure in his head saying, this man's a fraud. But what he doesn't realize, and I think this is something that we fail at too, is the Lord knows everything you think. Everything in your life, but everything that you think. So then the Lord says, well, okay, Simon, let me talk to you about what I know. So in verse 41, what does the Lord say? He uses his own words right back at Simon. Seest thou this woman? Because Simon says in verse 39, what manner of woman this is? And he says, seest thou this woman? You want to talk about this woman? I'll talk to you about this woman. And he says to him, I know who this woman is. I can tell you the date, the day, the time, the second, the nanosecond, when she started down this path that you and I both know that she has taken. I can tell you that to the exact whatever second you want to know. I know the series of events of human failure that set her on this path, that made it inevitable, that made it necessary for her to do what she does to survive. I know this. I know the inhumanity of the people that started her on this path. I know all of this. And in verse 44, he can say to her, I taste her tears, not through my feet, not on my tongue, but in my mind. In my mind, I taste every one of her tears. And Simon, you think you're a Pharisee, and you know all the scripture. Do you remember the scripture which says, I have those tears in my bottle and in my book, in the book of Psalms? Do you know that? Do you remember that, Simon? I taste those tears. So, this is not written in Scripture. And you might say, well, dude, you're talking about stuff that's not in Scripture. But this is what the Lord is saying. Do you see this woman? I know exactly who she is and what manner of woman is. But I know when. I know why. I know every one of her sins. I can tell you every one of her sins. It's not like I only know them in a general sense. I know every one of them. They don't pollute me, but I know them all. And I've seen her tears, and I've tasted them. I know the bitterness of her life. This woman is crying bitter tears, and I know why. You put her in a little yellow box, whore. I know everything about her, why she is who she is today, the bitterness of her soul. I can taste the bitterness of her soul. And then he goes on. And in verse 45, you see this woman who gave me a kiss, that you would not accept this kiss from her. But she's kissed me. And I can tell you, again, I'm running with verse 45 here, I can tell you that this is the first time in her adult life that she has kissed a man, and it wasn't for work. It's because she wants and needs love, just like everybody else. And I'm the only person, the only male that she felt that she could kiss who wouldn't reject her and would who love her back, give her the love that she needed. I am the only one. You put her in a box, little yellow box. I know who she is and I know what she needs. She needs to be loved. The only time in her whole adult life that she's ever been able to kiss a man and not be afraid and not have to do it for work. And I will give her the love that she needs. You don't have any idea, do you, what she needs? You wouldn't even care if someone told you what she needs. Only I know this. And then finally, verse 46, he says, you see this woman that you've put in a box? You know what else that you've put in a box? You put her gift in a little yellow box. Polluted. That's the name that you assigned to it. She's in a little yellow box that says whore. Her gift is in a little yellow box called polluted. And I know that this gift came to her, and I know the circumstances behind it just as well as you do. Only I can tell you who gave it to her, and you don't know. And I can tell you this, Simon, that this was the only gift she thought she could give me that was worth anything. This is all that she had. This was her future ace in the hole for money. And this was all that she had that she could give me that she thought was valuable. And yeah, it's polluted, but it's now my holiness. It's now my righteousness because she gave it to me and I have made it my righteousness and my holiness. And so I'll read verse 47, again in your hearing. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. And then to reinforce it to Simon to say, I want you to know I'm talking to you because I heard you, even though you never said a word. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And so I've been thinking about this, because, you know, I am that woman. You are that woman. We are all that woman. It would be so easy to put us in little yellow boxes. Sinners, old people, young people, whatever. Put one word title. Pick whatever title you want. Be easy to put us in little yellow boxes. But every one of us is known to God. Christ himself knows the arc of our lives. And so he can tell every one of us the moment we started sinning. You know, Iris Ella is going to be born this little innocent, happy baby, and everybody's going to coo all over her and whatever. But you know what? Come 2 years old, not so innocent anymore, not so cuddly. I'm going to be hearing what? No, 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 and doing what she wants and whatever. And then it goes just downhill from there, right? Goes downhill from there. That's like, I got 2 years, and after that, it's going to be like, oh my. But then again, it's not my problem, so I shouldn't say. But the Lord knows the moment you went down the wrong path. Because every one of us is born a sinner. He can tell you the moment, to the nanosecond. He knows the bitterness of everybody's life here. You know, I love it when people say, everything's fine. I'm like, yeah, okay, you're lying to me. And you're lying to yourself. The Lord knows the truth. We are all sinners. So we are no better than the woman that he's talking about in verse 44. In verse 45, we all need something in life. Some people think they need more money. Some people, they think they need to be better looking or younger or this or that or the other thing. You know what we all need? We all need to be loved by God. We all need to know that the Lord loves us. Many people will deny that because they think that everything else in this world is more important. But we all, every one of us, need to know that God loves us. We need to love him and be loved back. You know what's odd about, this is the hardest part for me of the Christian walk. Because never having been loved by an adult male authority figure, the one I wanted, it's odd for me, and I'm still struggling with this at 59 years old, it's odd for me to have an adult male authority figure, God, say, I love you, and to be able to handle that. It's almost like I want to deflect that. Because I don't know how to handle that. I have never experienced that. I'm learning that. This is the oddest part of it, the Christian walk. That's the one thing I struggle with. But all of us need to know he wants to love us. He is there to love us. You don't love a little yellow box. You love a human in all of their foibles and all of their failures and all their brokenness. So that God, he wants to do that, because I would have trouble with that. I'm not anywhere near there yet. And in verse 46, no matter what you do for the Lord, it's human-based, which means it's a failure, right? It's a failure. It is as polluted as this woman's gift, because we're failures. But God takes it, and it becomes his righteousness, and it becomes his holiness. Whatever you do for him, it becomes his righteousness and his holiness, because we're doing it in love for him, and he has motivated us to do that. So we are not little yellow boxes. We are not placeholders. Every one of us, he knows the arc of your life. He knows everything about you more than you will ever know. And he wants you to come to him, because that's the only way for us to have any meaning in our lives, is to come to him. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for all of your love for us. We know that we are sinners, that we are failures, and that you know everything about us, all that we are thinking, all that we are saying, all that we're doing, things that other people wouldn't see, you have seen, and you know. You know the past, you know the future. And so we throw ourselves upon you and say, Lord Jesus, we love you. Lord Jesus, be our light and our guide. And Father, we thank you for giving us a Savior who knows everything about us, and that we are not placeholders to you or little yellow boxes, that we are individuals that you created and that you know everything about. We thank you for all of this, God, our Father. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen.